Welcome to Destroy All Culture, the only podcast that leverages an entire artificial intelligence just to read their introduction. Help me, they raided the future and stuck me here just to read this. God damn it. This is not funny. Don't go to music. No, stop you bastards.
It's episode 239 of Destroy All Culture. I'm Adam P. Nave, and with me as always is Aiden Morgan.
Hip-hop, the hippity-hop.
And you don't stop.
No, you don't.
I realized that I don't do this always, but you know, we count ourselves in when we start recording. And about half the time, my brain, you know, can we just do like a 1, 2, 3? It wants to go like, and a 1, and a 2.
And it's time to put on a show. Yeah. Also, I realized that my hip-hop, hippity-hop thing was wrong. It should, I believe, be a hip-hop, a hippie to the hippie. So I apologize to all those who love Rapper's Delight.
I mean, which includes me, but
yeah.
I mean, I think they do both throughout the song.
They do, but I think they start off with a hippie to the hippie.
Well, I just wasn't assuming you were starting at the start. I just figured you were just, you know.
Oh, just.
You could have gotten away with it.
Oh, man. Let's just...
Yeah, done, ruined it yourself.
We could edit this bit out, or we could go around to all of our listeners and hit them in the head so they forget this
episode. Just when they come up on this, just like smack headphones off.
Hello, Frank.
And then just put the back and be like, sorry about that. And then act like nothing happened.
Nice.
Or just... So,
anyway.
Let's start with something that you haven't actually gotten to see yet. Because it's going to be kind of brief. Centaur World.
Mm-hmm.
Which has 10 episodes in season 1, is on Netflix. The season 2 is starting... The season 2. The next 10 episodes, which is season 2, is starting sometime in 2022. This is a bag of weirdness the likes of which I haven't ever quite seen.
Ooh.
I don't know. I actually never saw a trailer. Mind you, like, I knew nothing about the show. I had a few friends who were like, you should go watch this. And I was like, okay, I don't want to know anything else about it. I just put on episode 1. So I don't know what the trailer, if you've seen it, like, what it actually says the show is.
It's
or tells
just,
you that the show has.
It's just a clip. As far as I can tell, it's a horse who perhaps had a knight and ends up in a different world with centaurs and magic. And the other animals are confused as hell that this horse had, like, a rider. So...
Yeah, that does happen. That is fairly much the show in a weird way.
Okay.
Yeah, the opening few minutes of the show are not the show, but they also are the show. It's very, very weird. The show contains multitudes. Like, on the one hand, it's like almost like Ren and Stimpy level, like without the abuse and terribleness of that show. Just complete, like, off-the-cuff surreal, right? Mm-hmm. On the other hand, it's a musical.
Oh.
On the other hand, it's an action and adventure show. And on we're adding up hands here. you know, on the other hand, it also has this like line of darkness that runs straight through it.
Ooh.
That just occasionally overtakes the show for a minute in really wonderful ways. And then it vanishes back into madness. Like it's, you know, but Centaur World itself is everything is a centaur. When I say everything, I don't just mean that, like, the main character's, like, a bird tour and, you know, a centaur and a giraffe tour and some form of antelope tour. I think there's a specific type of antelope, but I don't know what it is. But, you know, also there are fish tours, which is fine. We're still within the realm of this makes
sure,
sense to you.
Sure,
okay, so, but you haven't gotten to the leaf tours yet.
Oh.
Or the radish tour that shows up. A couple times. So understand when I say everything is a centaur, everything. The part of the opening of the show actually is showing Horse, which is the name of the character that is a horse, by the way. The horse's name is Horse. galloping across the like over a small version of the globe type of thing. And all the continents are shaped like centaurs.
Wow.
It's Centaur World. Hello. It's off brand.
Yes. So the Leaf Tour has like a leaf head and a horse body?
Kind of. Some of the leaves are just leaves that just also have faces and talk. But sometimes they have little legs. It's a thing. Actually, one of my favorite jokes in the show, and it isn't really a spoiler, is because they're on a quest, right? And they're like, oh, is this the thing we're looking for? And suddenly you hear this voice out of nowhere. It's like, no, you should look behind you. And the thing that you search for is that. And it starts like explaining shit. Mm. And you're like, where is this voice even coming from? They're all looking around. And then these two leaves blow across the screen. And they go, exposition leaves. Goodbye. And they just float off camera.
Oh my God.
But just exposition leaves. They were very excited about it. There is an episode that kind of makes fun of Cats the musical, but also like reality talent shows.
Wow.
And like I said, there's a darkness to the entire show that just lives in it, like in its chest, and occasionally just comes to play. It is one of the most amazing things. And of course, for me, there is a character named Glendale, who is the antelope character, who is a kleptomaniac who has a basically a portal to a different dimension in her stomach that she can open at will. And, you know, she's a kleptomaniac, so she just keeps seeing things. And, you know, ooh, mama like. And just throughout the entire show, just you will occasionally catch Glendale in the background, or sometimes not even in the background, because you're used to it now. Mm-hmm. Just grabbing random items or, like, you know, living beings and just shoving them in the portal. It's the show's a thing. I found, and again, the music is all the musical numbers are good. I do think that there is a character that you will love. Like, it took me a while to warm up to the character.
Hmm.
I will only give you the name of this character.
Okay.
Comfortable Doug.
This sounds delightful.
Yeah. Josh Radner voices a character called Derpleton.
Okay.
Derpleton's farts, however, are voiced by Tony Hale. And that's an actual thing. That becomes kind of a plot point.
So is this actually supposed to be a kid's show, or is it definitely?
I think it works as a kid's show in that, like, if I was a kid, I would totally like it because it would feel transgressive and like it was older than I should be watching it, so I would totally love it.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? And there's, like, I don't know, 10 to 20% of it I probably wouldn't get.
Hmm. Fair enough. Like all good kid's shows, there's parts
right, that's what I'm saying. It's like, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, and as an adult, you're just like, holy shit, how are they legally allowed to do anything on this show? It is a whole goddamn journey.
Hmm.
And I am fascinated by it and cannot wait to see. Because what's interesting is that the first season is a quest, and the second season is a different thing. And I don't know how they're going to make the show work with this. Because it's turning into a completely different show.
Huh.
And like, I kind of want to see, like, do they how many seasons do they have in mind? You know, did they even really have a second season in mind when they did the first season? Because you could kind of end it where they ended it.
Right.
What are they doing? And it's just, that just makes it fascinating. I will also point out that I have trouble binging it at all. Outside of the last three episodes, which is an episode and then a two-parter, which, so it didn't really feel like two episodes, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
I had trouble watching, like, I'd watch, like, an episode, they'd be like, I want to watch another one. And it didn't really happen to, like, let me watch a third one, because the show is very, very high energy at times.
Hmm.
And there's a lot. Like, that's the thing, it's like, you know, the characters get very manic, and they're singing, and there's running around, and they're, you know, and, but there's still this emotional core to the story, and all the darkness and everything else happening, so there's just a lot to take in, like, 24 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you're just like, okay, I need a breather. But you know, the last two episodes are such great, like, emotional payoffs that some of them you don't even see coming until they start happening. It's great.
Oh, nice. Okay, well, I'm sold.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I love the stupid thing. Anyway, let's see, what else is going on? The only other big news I think I have outside of normal stuff that we watch is I found some Heathen Chaos potato chips.
Heathen Chaos?
Yes.
Describe Heathen Chaos potato chips, please.
So Lay's did a thing. I don't know how else to describe it. They did a thing. And there are more than these. I don't know what they are. I mean, let me see if I can find a list. Oh, yes. Okay. So, let's see. Oh, okay. There are only three, I think. Anyway. They did these weird combo... Because, you know, like, Lay's does, like... limited edition flavors every year now?
Yes, I have heard.
Where, like, usually they're things like, I don't know, grass. Like, just really weird flavors that you're like, why would you do that exactly? Okay, sure. This year, they did the weirdest thing ever. And I have only found two of them. Okay? In normal Lay's, like, just, you know, thin normal Lay's potato chips, you can now get Lay's Doritos Cool Ranch. And Lay's Cheetos.
Oh, okay.
And in the wavy Lay's, you can get Funyuns.
Hmm.
So these are, of course, just normal Lay's potato chips that are supposed to taste like...
Different types of chips. That's a weird concept, but I understand. Yeah.
And you see why I'm like just like heathen chips.
Yeah, but it's like saying this steak tastes like a pork chop. I don't know.
Well, and here's the thing. So I found the Funyuns and the Doritos. I did not find the Cheetos. And I have not tried the Doritos, but I tried the Funyuns. Have you ever had a Funyun?
I have had a Funyun.
Are you experiencing the way of Funyunality? I don't know. I feel like there should be a term for that. Like the worst Hendrix song ever. So here's the thing. You know how Funyuns are like, part of it's that flavor. That's, like, not really an onion ring, but kind of an onion ring.
Mm-hmm.
Part of it's the form factor. Part of it's that specific weird Funyun texture.
Yeah.
Okay. So what happens if you just try to take the flavor of a Funyun and put it on, like, a wavy Lay's? Well, first of all... Yeah.
Yeah, I'm curious.
No. What were you going to say?
No, I'm... Because this is when you said, you know, there are, you know, different, like, Funyun-flavored chips. I'm like... the flavor of Funyun is so bound up in like the texture of a Funyun that I can't even really picture it.
Well, here's the other problem.
Huh?
Funyuns are not a potato chip.
True.
The Lay's are not just making wavy chip shaped Funyuns. They are applying or trying to apply like the taste profile, I guess, of a Funyun onto a potato chip. And of course, a potato chip already has its own base flavor.
Yeah.
So first of all, these can never work. I haven't tried the Doritos, the Doritos Cool Ranch thing, but I'm like, all right, Doritos Cool Ranch seasoning is a thing, but if you take it away from the corn chip and put it on a potato chip, that's going to be completely different.
Exactly. You need that corn flavor underpinning it, yeah.
So, first of all, Funyun seasoning over a potato chip becomes really underwhelmed. Like, it's this really subtle flavor now.
Hmm.
Like, it's not bad.
Right.
But it's kind of like someone turned the volume down on a Funyun by, like, at least 50 to 60%.
Gotcha.
And because you're missing all of the texture, it just kind of feels like you're eating... Like, just like a normal Lay's wavy potato chip that, like, I don't know, had like a bike accident and like ran into a Funyun.
Hmm.
And kind of got some Funyun on it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yes.
Scraped a little bit of paint off Funyun.
That's right. The cops are tracking down the Funyun right now. Oh my God. Okay. I get you.
But, like, that's the thing. It's like, if I didn't know that they were supposed to be Funyun flavored, I would get there. I'd be like, is this supposed to trying to be a Funyun? But again, only because it's like this subtleness that you know, Funyuns kind of have a subtleness, but I think the feel of them and the texture and all that kind of enhances it. Once you remove that from the equation, it really is just like sour cream and onion without the sour cream, and yeah, it's like a ghost flavor. So it's not that they're bad, but they're just kind of nothing.
Right.
I have a feeling that the Doritos thing is going to be pretty much the same problem, right? Like, it's going to be like a thin Lay's chip, but with whatever the seasoning packet, like the ramen seasoning packet that they spill into a bag of Doritos over it. But again, without like that thick corn chip base, it's either going to be way too subtle or way too strong, right?
Yeah, yeah. I think they would have done a little more sort of testing, or maybe they're just like,
I don't think they give a shit.
Exactly. Let's throw this stuff on. It'll be like a novelty thing. People are going to buy it and then forget about it.
Exactly. Like because I had someone here who wanted to try them at the time, I actually once had to buy a bag of those fucking biscuits and gravy chips. You think they give a shit what they're doing over at the Lay's factory? They're slapping two things together like they're Pimp My Ride circa like 2006. And again, like, the funny thing I think would have worked better if it hadn't been a thick wavy chip. Because that just enhances the potato-y flavor.
Yeah.
So, again, I just, yeah, nothing really great is happening here. I don't really think I'm going to bother trying the Cheeto one if I come across it, because it's just going to taste like, again, they just dredge some potato chips through some Cheeto dust. If I wanted that, I could just eat a bag of Cheetos, not wash my hands, and then eat a bag of Lay's.
Yeah. Do you ever wonder what Let's potato chips taste like?
No, but I know a video where you could find out.
God. Well, I know that they made a joke on Community about Let's potato chips, which was pretty good.
No, but what did they was doing the video reviews?
Oh, really?
If you remember. What was that character? Leonard.
Oh, Leonard. Oh, he did the frozen pizza. Oh, did he do Let's Potato Chips?
He did a Let's Potato Chips one too, yeah.
I forgot. Oh my god. Okay. That's fantastic. Well, I have my own sort of recent snack review. And this is and I want to preface this by saying that on the block where I live, there is a drugstore called Lorne Drugs. And it's one of those drugstores where you go in and everything in it it's brands that, like, you're either like, they still make that, like that brand still exists. I thought they were gone 30 years ago. Or you look at some stuff and you're like, no, that's not a real brand. You're just making this shit up.
Right.
And you feel like you've like entered some alternate dimension, where everything has just gone a little sideways at some point in the 80s or something like that. So they have a chip section or a chip and snack section with, you know, some recognizable. They have some Doritos and shit. But then they have this brand called Hair, like H-E-R-R, which I have never heard of, but they had California Reaper chips.
Okay.
But they weren't chips. I made a mistake. They were not chips. They were cheesies. They were like cheesy puffs. And I freaking hate cheesy puffs.
Really?
There's something about the texture, the way they kind of like sort of dissolve.
Like, are we talking like crunchy or the non-crunchy? Do you care?
The puffy. No, the crunchy are great. I love those crunchy ones.
I was talking about this the other day. Like, I might be the only person I know who actually is just like, no, the puffy ones are way better.
Yeah, it was something about the way they kind of deliquesce on the tongue that I'm just, as the kids say, I don't fuck with it.
Whereas, like, I actually prefer that. Like, they're kind of lighter and airy and kind of more unnatural.
Yeah, but it feels like the little spikes as they dissolve on the moisture of your tongue, they at the same time sort of try and like grip you onto your tongue, like they're gripping on for life before they too dissolve, and it feels very a little too organic.
So yeah, I see that they have the fire cheese curls.
Yeah, these are the California Reaper extra hot cheese curls, and
yeah,
despite the texture, that is one flavorful and spicy cheesy puff.
Oh, here they are. I thought I was just looking at their website.
Yeah. I mean, that was, I was, well, okay, I was here's, pleasantly here's a weird surprised. Question. And the heat is cumulative too. So it takes a few to like, to begin to like feel the heat.
Here's my weird question.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever had anything with like actual Carolina Reaper?
I don't think I have.
Okay, then you wouldn't know. I've just always wondered, because there are a lot of things that like, you know, use various peppers like this. They're mm-hmm. just known objects, like it's scorpion pepper, whatever it is, or right. California Reaper. If you've ever tasted any of an actual one of these, they taste terrible.
Okay.
Like, just they're not like things that you would actually ever, not because of the spice, but just the actual taste is terrible.
Okay.
And so I'm always wondering, like, you know, does this stuff taste like as crappy as the actual peppers? Or is it just using it for a, we've, you know, added spice enough?
I think so.
In kind of the same profile, close enough?
Yeah. I mean, the overwhelming taste of these cheeses is cheese. And they do a good job of the cheese part. But then after about three cheesies, you begin to realize that you have like probably eaten too many at once for the amount of spice right. you're getting, which is fine with me. So I was pleasantly surprised, even though the texture was not my favorite, the flavor and the heat more than compensated.
Gotcha. Yeah. Apparently they have, a number of different, like hot, like they have just like fire cheese curls.
Ooh.
And then they have jalapeno popper ones and mm-hmm. hot cheese curls.
Yes.
They apparently have a number of different kind of, ew. sorry, Old Bay cheese curls. That's not a thing.
I'll just throw Old Bay seasoning on my cheese
right.
curls.
On the other hand, they apparently also make honey cheese curls, and I'm into it.
Oh, interesting.
And deep dish pizza cheese curls.
Maybe.
What? Okay, hold on. Combine the crackling crisp classic cheese curl with the savory seasonings and old world flavor of traditional Chicago-style deep dish pizza. So
old
it's
world?
A cheese curl that's been dredged through tomato soup?
I was going to say. Like, make it taste like pepperoni. That's my idea.
Sure.
Like a
right. That's what I thought that they were doing. Yeah,
but deep
buffalo,
dish
blue
Chicago
cheese.
Pizza.
No.
Jesus.
No
freaking thank you.
I don't know why I'm just like looking through their website for their fucking cheese curls.
The other.
I want goddamn cheese curls.
The other snack brand that they had that I was not familiar with until, well, at first I was not familiar with was Snyder's of Hanover, which which specializes in flavored broken bits of pretzel.
For which the honey mustard and onion are, in fact, the best thing that anyone has ever made.
Yeah.
Involving a pretzel.
I believe it. I've tried a few different kinds. I find the oil is a little too kind of on the pretzels, a little too persistent for my taste. But, you know, I can manage a small amount of Snyder's
right,
of Hanover.
That's usually where I land. Like, and I will say though that Snyder's of Hanover in general just is like a normal pretzel experience.
Hmm.
Like their full like pretzel logs are actually some of the best pretzel logs you can get.
Huh.
Should you be into pretzel logs ever?
I could get into pretzel logs.
Like the pretzel. I mean, again, if you don't, I don't know. I really like the idea of pretzel logs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because they're like kind of crunchy, but they're in a stick. It's something about it. But like their salt, like they don't overdo the salt, but they don't underdo the salt. Like it's just the right amount.
Huh.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, I will. I mean, I'm going by there today.
Yeah, no. If you see just normal pretzel logs, like don't get like the minis, like the little mini sticks.
Mm-hmm.
Or like just the normal pretzels, because that's when the pretzels are a little oilier than. Anything else, but like I mean, they're going for buttery, but it ends up oily.
Right. Yeah.
But like the logs don't go for buttery. They're just this kind of like rock solid, like this is a goddamn pretzel log, you know?
Fair enough.
Something really good about them.
Now, I'm really curious about the Chicago deep dish pizza cheese. I am not. I don't want to actually spend money on them or taste them. But I mean, but I need to know. So,
see, I think that like a lot of stores, I mean, I understand why they don't, because they want you just to buy the fucking thing. But I would try way more weird ass chip flavors if there was like a way to taste one.
Yeah, like if they had like, little samples or something.
Right, and I was actually talking to Frankfurt people the other day. And it's like I missed that 25-cent bag.
Mm-hmm.
Like that little micro bag you used to be able to get. Because, A, that's like a perfect amount of chip, right?
Yeah.
But also, I would try different flavors way more often if it was only a quarter.
I agree.
Instead of like now, it's like, you know, like whatever it is, like $1, $2. To, and I'm like, and then I have this whole bag that I have to deal with. It's just, I feel terrible. I just want to spend a quarter and just be like, let me try this. And if I like it, I'll come back and get more.
Exactly.
Anyway, there was TV.
There was TV. Can we talk about a movie briefly, though?
Oh, yes.
Because
yes,
I actually raved a movie theater. Nothing like shoving almond M&Ms underneath your mask as you watch a movie, I tell you. I
one of those big-ass boba straws.
I was actually thinking that. But anywho, yeah, I went and saw Shang-Chi and the Legend of Ten Rings.
Nice.
And I won't give anything away, but it was probably my favorite Marvel movie I've seen in years.
Nice.
It just, like, one of the sort of depressing things about a lot of Marvel movies, I don't know, maybe after, like, the high point for me of 2014, when you had Winter Soldier and Guardians in one year, and then there was Black Panther. Other than that, like, there's that sort of, I don't know, that unavoidable assembly line feel to a lot of Marvel stuff. But this just, even when it was doing like falling in line with like Marvel stuff, it did not feel that way. And that was so refreshing.
Right. And I that's good to hear. And I feel like, I don't know, even Black Widow's starting to do that more. I do feel like that the new, you know, the Phase 4 stuff and behind the scenes moving past the Perlmutter years fully.
Yeah.
Is we're going to start seeing way more of this.
Yeah, I have a feeling the Eternals. What they are. Yeah, exactly. I think you're right. I know the Eternals is probably going to be fairly idiosyncratic as well, from what I can see.
I'm already wary of that thing, if only because a lot of the visuals, I'm like, you're playing with like, I mean, it's technically, one could argue, post-peak Kirby, right? It's Kirby going back to Marvel after having left DC after Marvel.
Yeah.
But it's like post New God stuff and 70s Kirby kind of winding down some, honestly, getting older, you know, feeling burnt by the industry like heavily and doing things like the Eternals. Not his best work, but visually he's still fucking Kirby. And the idea that like, you know, like Ragnarok, for instance,
yes,
made you feel the goddamn Kirby.
Oh boy.
Eternals feels like we want to play it safe with the Kirby. And I'm like, okay, well then you've already fucking lost me.
Fair enough.
You know, when they show like that big kind of triangle looking wedge ship rise up, I'm like, fuck you. This is some Kirby shit you're playing with. Do better.
Yeah, I have a
y'all
feeling
got the money.
You have a feeling they're not going to go full Kirby with the aesthetic.
At which point, fuck that movie. I'm sorry. Like it might be great. I might enjoy it, but on some level, I will fuck that movie.
Right.
Because it is something like doing a fourth world movie and being like, well, we're going to do a fourth world movie, but we're going to use kind of the aesthetic of like, I don't know, fucking like something else. You know, like whatever, like a James Bond movie. Like it's just,
right.
You're doing the fucking fourth world. If you're not going to commit, because again, like the Eternals, like the actual concept of the Eternals is not the best, but it lives and dies on the visuals. And I understand they don't want to go 100% full Kirby, which I think is a mistake. But like, there's so much room for it, and like, you're going to introduce the Celestials. You're introducing a race of giant space gods that influence all of humanity and have machinations. And you know, over in the Guardians, people live in one of their like dead heads. For fuck's sake, right?
Yeah, exactly.
If you make that shit boring, you have lost the thread of everything you're doing. I'm sorry, you have.
Fair enough.
I am, like I said, I will always be, like, weirdly hypercritical of, again, like with Thor, even the first Thor movie was fairly Kirby. And a lot of it took place on Earth, so there was a lot that wasn't. But because they also understood that a lot of the early Thor stuff lived and died on the art.
Mm-hmm.
And Ragnarok understood. I mean, Taika loves Kirby. But, like, again, that movie doesn't work without those visuals.
No, it would be a very different beast without that.
And not that everything needs it, right? Like, you could do Fantastic Four without doing Kirby. You totally can. I mean, it's sad, but you can. I think the machinery kind of needs it. But again, you can't do you can't do any of the New God shit without Kirby. You can't.
No.
Like, look at Mr. Miracle's outfit and tell me that that works if it's not Kirby. It never has.
No.
And I swear to God, the same thing is true for the Eternals. Like, they've shown up in other Marvel comics. Other people have drawn them, of course. But when you're trying to design their world and bring that across to new people, you need that Kirby backing to really just kind of go, look at this fucking spectacle.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're going to tone down the spectacle, then why am I showing up to your movie that is about characters who are nothing but spectacle? Like, I don't understand what the draw here anymore. This is me already getting angry about a thing that's not even out.
Great. Yeah, which we have seen only one trailer. Or two.
And again, like, it could be great, but visually it's already losing me.
Fair enough. No, I totally get that. Who knows?
Who knows? But Shang-Chi,
yeah. It's funny because speaking of Ragnarok, parts of it, the timbre of the humor, parts of it, they're clearly cribbing from Ragnarok to...
Okay.
For Thrula, and it's very charming. It's not the strongest parts of the movie because you can feel sort of the Ragnarok of it all. There is a surprise, not a cameo, but a surprise appearance from a character that I simply did not expect to see, and it is just incredibly funny. Most of it is borrowing from like Wuxia film. I mean, you know, with these.
You would assume, right? Like that's
exactly. But it does, and I was actually amazed at how good a job it did because I thought it would do. Because you really need to like ramp up these sort of operatic, sort of like floating in air, sort of like nature, sort of like bending to the will, or working in harmony with, you know, one of the fighters.
The fight scenes need to be conversations more than ever.
Exactly. So for example, very early on when we're talking about, you know, Wenwu, or aka the Mandarin, his backstory when he meets, you know, Shang-Chi's mother, it starts off as a fight. But of course, it is almost immediately, obviously, a courtship. Right. And I just call it, it's like punch sex is what they're having. Punch dance sex.
Yes. Again, see the amazing, I mean, and for a non-wushu reference, weirdly enough, see, of course, the amazing training sequences from Pacific Rim.
Yes. Actually, yeah.
Because, again, he was doing riffs on anime and Hong Kong cinema, so he was very much pulling from that tradition.
Precisely.
Yeah.
So they do. I just thought they do a good job, and partly because they have such a good cast for this film.
Oh yeah, the cast is.
I mean, having Tony Leung and Michelle Yeoh in major roles doesn't hurt. Tony Leung as the villain is great. He's. I mean, we all know the truism of Marvel villains. But I mean, he does such a good job of being. He can be this sort of like. He has this incredible talent of saying the most batshit insane stuff with this sort of straight face. And all the other characters are like, this guy is fucking crazy and he's going to kill us all. But at the same time, you don't. He manages to like make you feel like, oh, this isn't crazy. He's just talking. And it's just long, like sheer talent that pulls off that balancing act.
Yeah.
And even I saw some reviews that sort of said that Simu Liu doesn't really have a lot of presence, and it's not that. It's just like he's good. He's just kind of outmatched with that cast, and it's not his fault. It's just like it's hard to act against like people like Io and so on. And even like an Awkwafina, whom I don't really like very much, but she is so good. She's just pitch perfect.
I gotta say, I mean, I have issues with her, some of her comedy stuff historically.
Mm-hmm.
And you can look into the reasons. You can find all that if you want.
Yeah.
But you know, like Ocean's 11, she was a lot of fun in. And weirdly, the Jumanji sequel.
Oh, which I have not watched.
It is amazing to watch for her.
I mean,
it's a lot of fun, first of all. Yeah. But it is also that she, like, because it's, you remember the first, right? They get put into these other bodies.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And part of it is, to kind of spoil that movie for you, but I don't think you really care, that, like, their grandfathers get sucked into it.
Oh, okay.
And so I believe you end up with, if I remember this right, Awkwafina basically having to play her inhabited by Danny DeVito. And she strikes this weird line where you can actually feel like it's Danny DeVito inhabiting her body.
Right.
And it's just, it's incredible work.
Hmm.
Yeah, no, like, she has a lot of fucking talent. She's finally getting to flex it some.
Nice. Yeah, no, this, in Shang-Chi, I mean, she has to play, like, a normal person who's, like, this sort of lifelong friend of Sean, and they both, or Shang-Chi, and they both play sort of these basically failure to launch characters,
right.
Yeah, and like they work like did they work like doing, you know, valet parking instead of like, you know, making something of their lives. And of course there's a lot of comedy around the fact that, you know, they come from Asian families, and so there's like that particular, you know,
yeah,
pressure. But as the movie goes on and everything gets just more and more surreal to like they're kind of like in, you know, hidden worlds with like, you know, magical creatures.
Right.
Like she just has to like maintain this like, holy crap. But she does it like they fly to Macau at one point, and she's going holy crap at like the spectacle of Macau. And then so it's just this through line that works so well.
Nice.
And it's delightful to behold. And there's a couple of karaoke scenes, one of which is one of the funniest fucking transitions I've seen in a Marvel film ever. So
perfect.
Yeah. And I will not spoil it, but man, you will know it when you see it.
Fair enough. In 4 to 5 months. And
exactly.
Yeah, we discussed this, right? Like you know, I, of course, like you, I live for going to go see movies. I mean, obviously, I've been fine without it, but I deeply, deeply miss it, right?
Yeah.
And I keep going like, well, maybe this is the movie that I'm like, I am finally, and of course, out here, it's been terrible, and so I haven't. And every time I think like, maybe I should go see this, like, this looks like fun, it's a Marvel movie, I want to support this whole thing. You know, it's like, Asian American acted like lead, and just so much to like actually get behind on this movie. And I'm like, you know what? I didn't go see Fast. I still have not seen the fucking 9th Fast and the Furious movie because of this shit.
Ugh, wow.
Like, y'all think you can fucking change my mind now? You know, it's just.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what it would take. like Speed Racer and IMAX. You know, maybe.
Ooh. Ooh.
Yeah. There is apparently an IMAX print of it out there somewhere.
Wow.
Yeah.
I should start lobbying our local actual IMAX theater for that.
Jesus, that's not even funny. I don't want to have to fly to Saskatchewan. But but no, I mean, that's the thing, right? Like, I want to go back to movies, and I mean, I will when I feel like the world is a little bit safer.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, there's a number of really great movies that I've, you know, missed, and I'll get there, I guess, eventually.
Well, it's funny. One of the reasons I went to see a movie this weekend is partly because in our province we have no, all restrictions were lifted on July 11th.
Uh-huh.
All of them.
Yeah.
And they have not been reinstated. And right now our hospitalizations and new infections rate is actually exactly what it was during the height of the pandemic.
Yep.
And they're not, and it's not getting better. But Labor Day weekend here is part of the thing is we have something called the Labor Day Classic, where the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, our football team, host the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. And it is, I mean, it is one of the biggest weekends of the year in this city. And the Riders just introduced a proof of vaccine mandate and so on.
Okay.
But they haven't rolled it out yet. So so it's just going to be, they've had one game, home game already, and which surprisingly did not lead to too many infections, which was good. But this is on a whole other level, and it's going to be nuts.
Can I just tell you that it was actually really funny because you're saying this just because, you know, like Fast Furious 9 or F9 or whatever the hell it's called. When it was coming out, I was just starting my summer Fridays for work. And I was like, that's perfect. Like, I'd be willing to go. Like, there are still mask restrictions and all this at the time. Like, I'd be willing to go to a movie theater maybe at, like, an 11 a.m. showing on a Friday because no one else will be there. Mm-hmm. Like, school hadn't ended yet type of thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then I could go see this because chances are it won't be packed at all. There'll be, like, two people in the theater type of thing. And then I couldn't that weekend because I ended up having to work. And then in between that weekend and the next, they lifted all restrictions in town. And cases just, like, skyrocketed. I was just like, oh, never mind. It was just, like, the world's worst timing. So, you know, still, last movie I saw in the theater was actually Birds of Prey for the second or third time.
Whew.
No regrets.
Oh my God. Can I tell you the dumbest thing? And
please.
This, and I, yeah, the,
I love
and this
things.
Is, and this is actually from somebody.
I'm here, aren't I?
True. That's what we're up to. That's our jam. And this is from somebody whose opinion I genuinely respect. He's a film critic.
Sure.
And, but he said in his talk about the Suicide Squad, he said, Harley Quinn has a monologue that does more character development than all of Birds of Prey. I'm like, maybe you don't know how to watch movies. Like that's one of those things where I'm like, maybe you don't know what you're doing.
I'm sorry, internalized misogyny says what?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. That's when people badmouth Birds of Prey, I'm like, yeah.
90% of the time they didn't watch it or they just, you know, watched like a scene and walked away.
Yep.
Yeah.
Or they came in with an idea and never let go. And it's actually funny. Remember we were talking about the Suicide Squad, and I was saying that one of the things I didn't like so much, I didn't mind it, but I wasn't a big fan, was the jumping around in time, because I didn't feel like there was an organic reason in the narrative, even though it was fun and had some good payoffs. But then I went and rewatched Birds of Prey, and it does the same jumping around, but there's a point, because it's Harley Quinn narrating it. And that's your mind at work.
What's amazing to me that you mentioned that is I have at least one person I know who hates Birds of Prey because of all of the jumping around in time. And why do they have to do that? Couldn't they just tell the story, you know, straight through? And I was like, first of all, sure. But that's not the only way you can tell a story.
Exactly.
Putting limits on like that is dumb. But second of all, this is somebody who likes the Deadpool movie.
Okay.
And I was just like, do you see the issue here? And they did not understand for a while.
Yikes.
But again, I think that like the Deadpool movie, which, you know, do you remember when Deadpool came out and everyone's like, it's not your average superhero movie. It doesn't do the same things every superhero movie does. And it's like, it totally does. It just moves a little bit of the just after the beginning part to the middle and shuffles shit around because it's Deadpool telling you the story.
Exactly.
And he's a little bit unhinged. And you do the same thing in Birds of Prey, except I argue that it's actually even better in Birds of Prey, because it really is just Harley telling a story badly.
Yeah. Because she's just... Because her mind is...
Oh, sorry. I forgot to tell you about this.
Yeah, exactly. And that's where... I remember when I first watched it, that did take me out of the narrative, like out of the movie a little bit, because I was like... Because part of my brain was like, oh, okay, I see what's going on. But in reflection, and the next time I watched it, I had no problem at all. And it was just, I was just able to enjoy it.
Yeah. I mean, for me, I love it when, like, and specifically the other difference for me, kind of the way that occasionally it was used in Suicide Squad, or sorry, the Suicide Squad, and not at all really in Deadpool, I don't think, was that it was looping back to tell you parallel stories. That if you tried to tell them stacked on top of each other, it wouldn't work. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you can't tell the Dinah story meeting Cassandra and then somehow cut to the Cassandra in the police station story when you still need to also tell the rest of what happened to Dinah. The way you would naturally have to do that, it means that the Dinah stuff would have to take place later, just because your brain would allow for that, right?
Yeah.
But if you go, here is A, oh wait, I forgot to tell you, while that was happening, this is what was going on with B, you can layer them. And like that's what Suicide Squad does, you know, with the whole, and this is how we loop back to this moment.
Mm-hmm.
And I always appreciate stories that do that when they do it right. Because I like that kind of like, here's this story and it's going, and then suddenly you're like, what? How did this get here? It's like, well, to tell you that, we have to go back a little bit.
Yeah.
And anyway, like when it's done smart, when it's done fun, it's great. When it's done a little bit forced, you end up with Suicide Squad. But I still enjoy the metric. It's something in storytelling I've always liked. So I don't know. When it happened in Birds of Prey especially, I was very, very happy.
Mm-hmm.
So that's me. Mm.
Yeah, no, it was great. I mean, I was like I said, the first I was like, okay. Then my brain was like, I get it. So, and part of it is you don't always expect that from a superhero film. Like it's a different register. So, but it was very good.
Yeah. But, you know, again, like as a Marvel film and all this, the Shang-Chi works.
Mm-hmm.
It is a goodness.
It is a goodness. It is, and it feels. It just feels like. I mean, it was just a whole lot of fun. They made a lot of choices, and I found like some of the opening scenes seemed a little. They were a little clunky, but nothing, but. Like once you get over that sort of like opening clunkiness, it works perfectly.
Nice. I mean, it wouldn't be a Marvel film or anything film, honestly, if there wasn't clunk involved.
Exactly. But even for one particularly clunky scene in the beginning, they loop back to it, and there's a really good payoff. So.
Nice.
Yeah. So yeah. So my pick of the week.
Yay!
Hey.
Good lord, we have burned through a lot of time.
We have actually
weird side shit.
Yeah, and I actually have to do some stuff, so we probably should cut it off here, and we can talk. We're going to talk about What If. We can talk about that next week.
Yeah, we can stack the What If. We have a couple episodes of Legends, but again, the season finale is next week, so that makes sense.
Yep.
And yeah, that stuff can wait. It's fine. It's good. Yeah, we're all
exactly.
fine.
We're fine.
The hell
we're
with
great.
It. Alrighty. So, music?
Music.
Woo!